chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2. And it's been a busy last few weeks for us in preparation with everything, with the move and things coming up. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who's helped us with different things and been encouraging us and praying for us. And obviously a bittersweet time, and we're looking forward to what God has in store, but we're so thankful for the time that God has given us here. And that's kind of what the Lord kind of brought me back to this passage as we have been going, went through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We finished it last week or the week before. And so Pastor's like, maybe just give kind of a summary of parts that from the early on when we were just online only. And the title tonight is The Impact of Spiritual Mentors. The Impact of Spiritual Mentors. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about that starting in verse number 7. The Bible says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you are dear unto us. If you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy, justly, and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath of God has come upon them to the uttermost." But he hones in here with a couple of key phrases here, especially at the beginning of this passage that we read, how they were willing to have imparted not just the gospel of God only, but their own souls unto them. And so now we want to look at the impact of spiritual mentors. But let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for these young people tonight and using the gifts and things that you've given to them and their minds and their desire to please you with their life, and memorizing those verses and singing the songs of praise to you. And Lord, that they would continue on through the rest of their life serving you, and they'd use them in a great and mighty way for your glory. And God, we just thank you again for the privilege we have to come together to look into your word for a few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. I've heard it said that every person needs a Paul and every person needs a Timothy. A Paul is someone like the Apostle Paul who mentored these young men in the faith, and he had a Timothy who he was investing in. And in many ways, we need people that are influencing and mentoring us in the faith, but also people that we are passing it on to for ourselves. It's not supposed to end with us. And that's why we have nights like tonight where we can see how God is using these young people as their teachers, and many in this church have been investing in their lives. And that chain is supposed to continue on. But we all need spiritual mentors who are investing in us. And we need to continue to invest in those that God allows us to. And I could spend hours and hours telling you about the people that God has used to mentor me in my life, all throughout my life, and many here in this church tonight. And someone who influences us and impacts us as a spiritual mentor is more, it's more than just a friendship, though we need godly friendships. But these are people that we allow to speak into our life and to influence us for drawing closer to God. And those people in our life may change as we go through life, whether if they pass away or we move. You know, the people that influenced me when I was a young person, none of them live here. So some of them are still at a distance that I keep in touch with. I'm excited next week for my ordination. My pastor from when the church I grew up in, he's coming to be here, he and his wife. And so excited for you to get to meet him. He had a big part of mentoring me at that part of my life. But now God has been using other people as well. But the fact is, with a spiritual mentor, these people that God used to invest and influence our life, sometimes we need to seek those people out and ask for help. We have to be receptive when they give us advice and counsel based on the Word of God. We have to be willing to ask questions and be transparent and open and honest with things that are going on in our life. And obviously, these people that God uses are not perfect. We've all probably had people in our life that have failed us, that we looked up to. And some may not even be serving God anymore, perhaps. But we're not doing it because of them, but because of God using them in our life. And so as we come to this passage, the Apostle Paul, who's writing to this young church who has been growing in the faith, and the Apostle Paul and his team that was with him when they were there were kind of the spiritual mentors for this church and for others. And another church that he mentored was the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 4, he says, "I write these things not to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me." And the same heartbeat is here. He says, hey, I'm like a spiritual father to you. And that was the kind of relationship that he had. These people were looking to him for help and advice, and God was using him to have a great impact on them in their life. And we'll see as we went through this book of his joy of how God was using them and their impact. Back in chapter 1, how they had reached their entire region with the gospel. Imagine an age with no internet, no phone, not even really a mail system like we know of today. And yet everyone in that region knew about Jesus Christ because of this church. And that was just in a couple year span. And as Paul is seeing how God is using them, this whole book really is to encourage them to keep going forward as a spiritual father, as a spiritual mentor. And so he shows, God gives us in this passage, how a spiritual mentor impacts our lives. And those of us who are now in the roles of being spiritual mentors, whether parents and teachers and grandparents, whatever stage of life we're in, how are we supposed to impact others in this way? Because again, it's not supposed to end with us. It's supposed to be passed on. And the goal is that those young people that we're teaching and training, that one day they continue to pass it on. And even right now, God is using many of them in their schools and families and things like that. So what does a spiritual mentor do? Well, number one is they give sacrificial love. In verse 7 and 8, he talks about, "But we are gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you are dear unto us." And that phrase there, "a nurse cherishing your children," gives the idea of a nursing mother with her baby. And when you think of that picture of a mom holding that precious baby, you think of the nurture and care and protection of that child at its weakest and most vulnerable point. And there are times in our life, spiritually speaking, when we first trusted Christ our Savior, where we were vulnerable. And even times we still are, and we need the help of those that are caring and investing in our life. So it's a really interesting picture that he gives there. And so as spiritual mentors, they help nurture us in our walk with God. They don't expect us to have everything figured out in one moment. They work with us and they help us and guide us along the way. The goal is, though, just like for a child, is not to be permanently dependent upon the parent, but it takes time to get to that point. And I'm so thankful for the people that God used in my life who helped me grow my walk with God and challenged me and stirred me at times to take steps of faith. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about he was challenging the people because they had reverted back to needing to be spoon-fed again, spiritually speaking. He said, hey, you've been saved long enough, you ought to be able to read and say the Word of God for yourself, but I'm having to come back here and bottle feed you again. And just like if your teenager came back and said, I want to go back to drinking bottles, Mom and Dad, there would probably be a red flag in your mind, hopefully, that would be a problem. And if they're waiting for you to feed them every bite of food. And our son, he's like not even 2 yet, and he already wants to use the spoon for himself, which is a good thing, you know, that he's not dependent on us. When he was real little, he wouldn't hold the bottle for himself because he was just lazy. He was just like, he had the ability to do it, and it took us a while, and we just like let go until he would hold it for himself because he didn't want to. And so sometimes we have to get to that point of like, no, you need to grow yourself here. You need to take a step of faith here in that sense. And the same is true spiritually speaking, that we shouldn't be dependent upon others as a mature person for our intake of the Word of God. And if the only time we ever open the Bible is in church, that's a problem. How are we supposed to grow closer to God each and every day if we don't even spend a few minutes in His Word each and every day? If we're dependent on pastor or teacher, you know, to get what we get from the Word of God, that's not good. Again, not that we all have it figured out. None of us do. But that ought to be something that we're seeking to grow in and learning more and more. And if we're going to keep spiritually maturing, we have to be in the Word of God. especially as the spiritual mentors, we're trying to pass those things to others. We have to be growing ourselves so that we can. And but Psalm 130 verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and his word do I hope. And it gives the idea of waiting with bated breath to read and study the word of God. That as that should be our desire, that every day we long to spend time in his word. And so spiritual mentors are those who help us grow in our walk with God. There are people that we can go to for help and counsel and ask questions, though not that they have it all figured out, but they're people we can go to. And they encourage and they challenge us and they lovingly shepherd us through our lives as we mature and grow. It's interesting, it says that they know how to be gentle with us. You know, if we mess up, they don't scream and yell, what's wrong with you? And, you know, sometimes we may be tempted to do. No, we're gentle. Just like with my son, you know, he's not even two yet. When he throws a fit, I don't like, what's wrong with you, kid? No, he's growing and learning. He's not understanding everything. Now, internally, maybe I'm thinking that, but I'm not going to say that to him, hopefully. No, there's that gentleness that needs to be there with someone who's still growing and learning. And again, that doesn't mean that those people aren't tough on us at times when we need it and blunt and direct. That's what makes it stand out even more when they're constantly kind of shepherding gentle. When they say, hey, you need to deal with this, it kind of raises up even more in our mind. But they have the fruit of gentleness in their lives that is shown toward us. But a spiritual mentor is more than just someone who teaches us the word of God. But it says here is someone that is pouring their life into ours. In verse number 8 says, so being affectionately desirous of you, which is a strong, intense love, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but our own souls, because you are dear unto us. And that word for affectionately desirous is like intense, like the love of a parent. And again, as a spiritual mentor, we need people that love us. And we don't have to try to find someone who's like famous or well-known or who's like some great scholar of studying the Bible. No, just find someone who loves God and loves you. That is literally the only requirement for someone speaking into our lives. But when we find this, people says today, he's willing not to just to impart the gospel of God only, but his own souls. And they are willing to risk their lives to go to these people. And he says that we were willing to pour our lives into you. And the greatest lessons that we are taught normally aren't head to head, but is heart to heart. And many times we see that we remember moments in our life, those light bulb moments, and it was the people that God used in our life to teach us things. And I mentioned many times as a dear lady, she was like my grandma, but we called her Mama D. And she was one of the most godly people I've ever known. And she never sat down with me, okay, Josh, we're going to study the Bible together. No, but every time I was around her, she was showing the joy of the Lord. She was sharing verses. She was sharing what God was doing in her life. And it was just a constant encouraging and mentoring that was going on. It was never a formal thing. I never like asked her because I wouldn't probably have as a kid, you know. And but she just began to pour her life into mine. And I think about her often, how God used her. And she was just this tiny little lady. You wouldn't think anything of it. She went through so many difficulties in her life, and yet she loved God so much, and she poured her life into mine. There's many, many other people I could give as examples of that. And I'm sure hopefully many of us, we probably think of people right now, maybe even many people in this room that God has used that have poured their life into ours. And the pattern for us is those people that pour our life into us and the word of God and their love and care, and then we're pouring that into others, to our children, grandchildren, whoever that God brings into our life that we can. And maybe think, man, I don't really have too many people like that. Maybe ask God to open up someone that you can. And maybe there's people right now that God may lead you to being that for. But we need to give sacrificial love as a spiritual mentor. Then the second thing about a spiritual mentor is that they display a godly example. Verse number 9, he says, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preach unto the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy, justly, and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And spiritual mentors, they don't just teach us with words, but they teach us with their life and how they live their life. And they display what it means to live a godly life. He shows here about how they taught how to work, what it meant to work. He said that they labored and travailed. And in the previous passage, it talked when Paul reminded them that he didn't come to them as a preacher to get money from them. If there's a preacher that's always saying, give me money, money, money on TV or whatever, that's a red flag, you know. He wasn't calling for that. He was willing and sacrificed greatly just to be there to be with them. He worked a full-time job in a sense. He was a tent maker, you know, like a builder equivalent of today, wherever he went and to support himself, to not put a burden on this young church. And again, Paul, we know he wasn't married, so he had the ability to kind of spend himself and his time in that sense. But he labored for these people, not just in physical labor to support himself as he was there, but in the Word of God as he taught them over and over again, the Word of God. And now he's writing back to them. He's going to write another letter back to them and the investment that he had in their life. But he was an example of walking with God. And Paul realized, just like a child is often following the footsteps of their parents, these believers are watching and following after his example. And there are certain things, you know, that our son does. I'm like, what? Where did he learn that from? And I'm like, oh, it's probably me. And, you know, sobering thoughts. And now he does run around with his tongue out half the time. That was not for me. That was for my sister. His aunt taught him that on FaceTime. You know, she'd stick out her tongue. So he does that. We were at the park the other day, and he was sticking his tongue out. These older kids, and they were getting mad. And I'm just like, oh, man, he's going to get beat up by, you know, these other kids for sticking his tongue out. Thanks a lot, Rachel and my sister. And so he didn't learn that from me. So if he sticks his tongue out at you, don't take it personally. And but there are children, you know, they pick up on things. But the same is true spiritually speaking. You know, we learn from those people that are investing in us. And just in general, we learn from the people that we're around, the people that, you know, we watch on TV, listen to, whatever. We pick up on those things. And but Paul said, hey, I lived a godly life in front of you so that you could see that my walk matched what I said. And he said that his reputation was holy, that he was, not that he was perfect, that he was arrived, but he was obedient to God, that he walked justly, that he had integrity as a person in his character, and then said it was unblameable, that he was blameless in his reputation. And the Bible says in Philippians 2 that we're supposed to be blameless and harmless in this world, to be a light in this world. And that no matter what other people may be doing and going crazy and doing crazy things, we're supposed to be blameless in our character as a Christian. So that others see our lives as an example of godliness. And that was the testimony that Paul had before this church. And that's how we ought to be before those that we are mentoring. Again, does that mean we're going to be perfect and those people are going to be perfect to mentor us? No. But the goal is that we become more Christ-like. And many of the people that have mentored us and influenced us, they've been serving God many, many years. I love how Pastor always said about the Proverbs 31 woman. That said the lady at the end of her life of decades of serving God. Not as a goal to strive toward to be like, not that we have to figure it out right now, which I'm thankful, that to grow in becoming more like Jesus Christ. And also, before we start critiquing other people, especially those that have invested in our life, remember that where we're at in our walk with God and our personal failures, and that hopefully not everyone, you know, that's the thing that's going on right now. Again, there are certain things that have consequences, but, you know, people are just like fine-tooth combing through people's entire past to try to find one thing to destroy their whole life, you know. You know, you see this in the politics and things like that, even just different things. And it's very difficult that we want to have a godly testimony, but also be gracious and realize none of us have a perfect past. And we're not going to have a perfect future either. And we want to strive to be godly and allow God to continue to work in our life and have grace with those that we are pouring into and not easily frustrated if they're, man, how come they're not getting this? Man, they ought to have this figured out by now. Well, how long did it take us to figure those things out? Probably much longer. And but he gave them a godly example, and that's what we ought to strive to as well. So a spiritual mentor, they display a godly example. They give sacrificial love. Thirdly, they give fatherly or parental encouragement. And back in verse 7, he talks about, or verse 8, that idea of being a nursing mother. And then in verse 11, he says, and you know how we exhorted, comforted, and charged every one of you as a father does with his children. They'd walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. And one of the greatest advantages of having spiritual mentors in our lives is their encouragement to us to love and to serve God. They're the people that are in our corner, that are cheering us on and pushing us forward. You know, if you've ever seen boxing or anything like that, they got the guy in the corner that's like cheering them on, pep, giving them pep talk between rounds. You know, their face is all beaten in. Yeah, you can do it. You're doing great. You know, they're getting beat bad, you know. But they're there cheering them, encouraging them, and helping them. And we need people like that. They're helping us. They can't do it for us. We all have to make our own choices. We have to choose if we're going to serve God or not. And the people that we're investing into, we can't control them. We can teach and train our young people and pray that God will use them, that they will stay faithful, but we can't control them. you can try, but probably not going to work out too well, and we just have to trust what we've put into their lives. And the Bible does say, train up a child in the way they'll go, and they'll not depart from it. That doesn't mean they may live it out, but they'll take that with them, whatever we put into them, which is sobering. Whatever we're putting into them, they're taking with them for the rest of their life. And I'm so thankful for parents and people that put things into my life that if I had went a different direction, I would have known full well what I would have been doing. And I would have not been able to get away from that knowledge. And so never underestimate those things that we're putting into our young people. But this idea of a spiritual mentor, they give fatherly encouragement. And in verse 9, he used a few, or verse 11, he used a few words of that he did. He said that he exhorted them. He gives the idea of stirring them to action. As me and Pastor say all the time, let's go. That's kind of the idea. Hey, let's go forward. Hey, let's keep going forward. And they come alongside us. This is that he gave comfort to them. This is the idea of being comforted with suffering and mourning. The same word that was used in John 11 when Lazarus died, when they were being comforted at that funeral. And a spiritual mentor is the ones that are there comforting us at our lowest points, when we need it the most. When other people kind of back away and like, oh, that's too difficult to get into, they're the ones that are there, and they wrap their arms around us. Then it says they exhorted, comforted, and they charged them. This idea of, hey, let's keep going forward. And remember what God has done in your life and what he wants to do. And they point us to the future, and they help us go along. And then it says they encourage us as a father does with his children. And, you know, being a dad, you know, teaches you a lot. A lot about yourself and a lot about children. And but there's certain things that you have expectations for a father and how a father should be. There's sometimes you have to be tough and say, look, I'm dad, I know it, you need to do this. And there's sometimes you need to have that wrap your arms, hey, I love you, it's going to be okay. And we need those people in our life, spiritually speaking, that come alongside of us and they encourage us. And what do they encourage us to do? Verse 12, they'd walk worthy of God who have called you into his kingdom and glory. Their ultimate goal of a spiritual mentor is that we please God with our lives. That's what they get joy in. And I love in 2 John 4, he says, I have no greater joy than my children walk in truth. And that is the goal and desire. That's our goal and desire for our young people in our church, is that they'll serve God with their lives. That's it. Not that they, you know, go to a certain college or a certain whatever, do a certain career path. It's that they'll please God, that they'll do what God wants for them. And if they do that, then they're going to be taken care of. And that's what spiritual mentors do. They encourage us like a father to keep growing in the Lord. And then the last thing about a spiritual mentor is that they rejoice in God transforming our lives through his word. In verse 13, he says, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, that when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. For you've also suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. And a spiritual mentor desires that we will receive and be transformed by the word of God. And he references back when he first came to them, before there was even a church, he was going around being a witness and telling people about Christ, and how they didn't receive it as his words, as a man's word, but they received it as God's word. And that's a desire for every spiritual mentor, is that you don't be like me, be like Jesus Christ. Follow the word of God. Hey, I'm going to fail you. I'm not going to say everything right all the time, but God will never lead you astray. And we could go on and on tonight about the power and impact of the word of God. But Paul reminds him of how God worked in their lives through his word. And says that it effectually works also in you that believe. It gives the idea that the word of God is active in our life. As we read it and study it and live it out, it begins to do a change in our life. And it's where we get our word for energy, to work within, or to work in. And Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick and powerful. It's the same root word there. That the word of God has power to change our lives. And if there's things in our life that we fail in and we mess up in, we've got to go to the word of God. And God is the one that changes us through his word. And the word of God is a book unlike any other, because it's a living word. As the Bible says, it's quick, it's alive. And it can do what nothing else can. There's a lot of other good books that are out there, but there's nothing like the word of God. I've heard someone says, you know, visit other books, but live in the word of God, or something to that effect. And the problem is, though, is that it does change us. And that's not always easy, as God is working in and through our lives through his word. But many times, you know, we think about our country and the world and things that are going on and like, what's going to happen with the election? What's going to happen, you know, with all these things that are going on? You know, hopefully Jesus Christ has come back soon so we don't have to deal with all the stuff that's going on. But no matter how much time we have left, God has us still here. And God still wants to work in and through our lives. And no matter how bad we may think things are getting, or how hopeless it may seem, God and His Word is more powerful. And it can still change lives, not just ours, but all those who will receive it. And you just think about your own life as a Christian and how much has changed over the years, hopefully. And the Bible says that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And just like a physical sword, it makes an impact when you stab something with it or cut something with it. It makes an impact. And the Bible talks about how the Word of God, it cuts through our will and our thoughts, and it cuts right to the who we really are. And it brings conviction, and it brings change in our life. And the Word of God is also compared to a hammer and a fire that breaks the rock in pieces. It makes a difference on what it affects. And I'm not necessarily a fire bug like other people, but I do like smashing stuff. And, you know, I like using the hammer. Not always good at it. We were doing some work the other day, and I caught my thumb. John didn't feel sorry for me. He just laughed at me. And but I do like hitting stuff with a hammer. Most people do. It's a fun thing. But it's not so fun when you hit yourself with it. That's not the goal. But whatever you hit with that hammer, if you hit it hard enough, it's going to significantly alter whatever you're hitting, for good or bad. And if you accidentally have hit something you weren't supposed to and really put a hole in something, you're like, oh, no, that did not have the effect I wanted it to. And but it can be used for great good. And I like air-powered tools or, you know, drills and all those things because it does the work for you now. So it saves you a little bit of energy. And it can do some great damage or some great things for good. And the Word of God has an effect on our life, and we'll let it. We have to get into the Word of God, though. But there's been many times where I was wounded, in a sense, and humbly broken because of the Word of God and understanding the truth within. And God wants to move and change in our life through the power of the Word of God. And as a spiritual mentor, that's our goal for ourselves and for those that we're teaching, investing in, to get in the book, because that's what's going to change their life. Beyond anything that we, our vast wisdom that we can impart to them, if the Word of God is what's going to make the difference. And I'm so thankful for people that didn't point me to themselves, but they pointed me to the Word of God. And that's how it ought to be. And but God did incredible work in this area of Thessalonica, in this city. And Paul rejoiced in how God was moving and working in the lives of this church. And in verse 13, he used two different ideas for the word receive, how they didn't just receive it as man's word, but as God's word. And one person said that there's two different words for receive. The first means to simply accept from another, or the second means to welcome. The first means the hearing of the ear, while the other means the hearing of the heart. The believers at Thessalonica did not only hear the word, they took it into their inner man and made it a part of their lives. And that's what our goal and desire is, to take in the Word of God, to allow it to change our lives. And it will change our lives if we let it. And they received it not as man's word, but as God's word. And Paul tells his church that they began to follow the footsteps in verse 14, that they were followers of himself, but also the churches of God that were in Judea, in Jerusalem. Those first church, that first church that was there that suffered great persecution for going and spreading the Word of God. And this church, they faced some very difficult circumstances, and they suffered greatly. But he was there in their corner the whole time, encouraging them, saying, hey, you've got God, you've got His Word, that's all you need. And if they're going to, if we're going to receive and spread the Word of God, we're going to face persecution just like they did. And that's why we have to stay unified together and allow those that God has put into our life to help us. But being a spiritual mentor is not an easy thing, but it's very rewarding. And many of us have seen those that God has allowed us to have a part in their life, they're working and growing. And there's nothing like it. And I'm hopefully the farther I get in life, the more that I'll be able to see God do that work. But one of the things that's always been a reminder to me to keep serving God was all those people that God has put into my life. And again, ultimately, I want to please God, my Savior. But secondly, He's given me more than most from what I've exceeding experience of people that have invested into my life. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, it talks about that as we're running our race, we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And I believe it's pointing back to the previous chapter at Hebrews 11, which is what people call the Hall of Faith. And it lists all those heroes of the Bible and how God used them. And I believe it's given the idea that those people were a testimony and example to us today, and obviously others that God has used into our life. And as we look to our Savior first and foremost, but then we see all those others that God has used that have run their race, that have invested in our life, it helps us to be able to keep going forward. And they're a constant reminder and a sense of what God has done. And just like if you go into a cemetery or a place where there's a memorial of some kind, you remember the history of what happened. Not necessarily to rejoice in it, because sometimes there's bad things that happen in history, but to remember what happened so that we can move forward from whatever it was. But there's been so many great people. Maybe you're going to see a family member, a loved one, and remember their life, but remember how they impacted your life. And who are the people right now that are investing and impacting our lives, and who are we investing into? It's not always easy, because they don't always want to take it. I'm sure there's many times where the people that invested in my life, they thought, this guy ain't getting it, and they were probably pulling their hair out. I know my parents were many times, especially as a teenager, and during those difficult times. But I'm so thankful for those who God used in my life. And so will we let God use others to influence and mentor us? And will we let God use us to influence and mentor others in our lives? I'm so thankful for this church and those who've been spiritual mentors to me in many different ways. Obviously, pastor, but many others who have been a testimony example to me. And I can name off many that are here tonight, many that have been a part of our church. And I'm so thankful that wherever I go in life, you're going with me and with our family. And you're what you've poured into us, hopefully we're going to continue pouring into others. And then I'm thankful to have been able to be a mentor for some, especially the young people in our church. And I rejoice in what God is doing in their life and for the days ahead. And we're excited to see and keep in touch, and that we can all continue moving forward for the cause of Christ. And looking forward to all that God has in store. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for, most of all, Jesus Christ and him giving his life for us on the cross. But Lord, we thank you for all those people that you've put into our lives to help us and to mentor us through our lives. And Lord, I'm sure we could all think of many different people by name and by even specific moments in time of how they mentored and shepherded us in our life. And Lord, now that you'd give us people that we can invest into and continue to mentor, and Lord, that you would use us for your glory. And Lord, we just thank you for how good you are to us. Lord, I thank you for this church and the impact that it's had in my life. And God, that you continue to use them to reach this community and invest in these young people and all those that come into the doors of this church. And God, we just again thank you for all that you do for us, and that you give us a great rest of our week, that you'd use us in our workplaces and businesses, wherever we may go, and that you'd use us to point others to you. And God, we just again thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have one announcement I was reminded to give. Next Sunday night, there will be no evening service, and there's something.